Hey there, fans of Brotherly Love Wrestling. It is I, Vic Delicious.
Philly's own, the Mecca here.
It is the real McCoy, J.D.X., Justin D. Xavier.
It's your man, C.D., the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
Hello, boys and girls. This is your old friend, R.J. City.
Hey there, Brotherly Love Wrestling. Bill Carr here.
Hey everyone, this is two-time guest Wheeler Yuta.
Two bozos from Philadelphia flapping their gums about pro wrestling this, pro wrestling that.
Which is not that unique in the grand scheme of things yet.
You are in for a treat because you're tuned in to Brotherly Love Wrestling.
Philadelphia, are you ready?
This is Brotherly Love Wrestling Podcast, your first stop for everything professional wrestling. So sit back and enjoy wrestling talk at its finest with your hosts, Larry Hall and Joe Corrado.
Much covered.
Yeah.
In a general sense, if we just stick to the Cody versus Roman saga, Rock getting involved, Bloodline rules stuff, and just cover it like very generalized, because there's not a lot of big points that hit.
Other than,
you know, other than like the attack at the bus.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And that was last week. So.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll hit the intro. We get started, then we'll be able to laugh at Joe for the first 10 minutes.
I'm
ready. I'm getting hype.
Well, I might do the whole show and then my reveal at the end.
That would suck. That would blow if you did that.
No, what you do is you set up a Zoom avatar and do the Zoom avatar the entire show and then just flip it off at the last minute.
I don't. That's way too much technology for whatever what I'm dealing with here. Dude, we wouldn't start this show till fucking midnight if that was the case. Until I figure this shit out.
All right, I think we're ready. Welcome everybody to Brotherly Love Wrestling, our last show before WrestleMania, and tonight we are doing a Zoom table for three. We have our usual suspect, Bill Fry, joining us, and the black screen that you see below us is my co-host, Joe Corrado. But see, you hear that? You hear that laughing? Like, this, that will be the last laughing you hear from Joe, because
that's not true. Because if I do this laugh on how I look right now, it's going to be fucking ridiculous.
Well, I mean, the laugh sounds like it's coming through more clearly. Like, it doesn't have to go through hair or
that's
anything.
That's true.
Like
so,
that.
Like,
on the lower end, no. The top end, still, yes.
So, we've been talking about this for a little over a month now, and Joe is ready to pay the bet, which is a freshly shaved chin and cheek all over the place, except for that mustache. So, Joe, are you ready to reveal to everybody the mustache, the beautiful mustache you are sporting for WrestleMania weekend?
All right.
So excited.
The ringing of the hands.
Oh, I love the dramatics. The slow zoom out.
Oh, Jesus. We got the full Rick Rude going on.
Oh, you look like a super trooper.
Yeah. That's what I feel like.
I want a liter of cola.
Oh,
if you guys
man.
Say shenanigans one more time, I'm pistol whipping you.
Shenanigans.
Wow.
I don't think it looks too bad.
Yeah.
No, you definitely look like a New Jersey State Trooper.
I look like my father.
That is definitely a Rick Boogs look-alike contest.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know what else to do. I didn't want to do all the way down here, and I didn't want to come. I didn't know how far. I'm new with this. I don't know how far to come up, so I felt like I stopped here. I will say this: I laughed in the mirror very hard when all was off, and I finally looked at it. I was like, "My God." There was a lot of things going on in my mind. Let's put it that way.
Wow. Oh, man. And it sucks because usually I have my monitor up in front of me and I'm having little difficulties with it. So I have the laptop. So I'm like kind of having to turn to look over at you guys and see you. So like I want to talk to the people and talk to the camera, but I can't stop looking over to my right and looking at Joe. Because it's just...
You know, the shadow hits just right. Looks like you got a soul patch going on,
it really
too.
Does, yeah.
This was a trial run. So this is just...
Should have kept the handlebars going down.
Yeah. I'd say I didn't know. I mean, I could have went that route and then just kept going upward. I just felt like this was a good starting point.
I think it is.
I still have to go out into the world tomorrow and Friday.
I can't wait for Battleground on Friday night. I can't wait to see it in person.
We got
it.
I'm not gonna wear a shirt. I want them to mistake me as like someone who could possibly like maybe I'm a wrestler, but maybe I'm not. Like, there's no way some asshole would walk out of his house like this, right?
You gotta go to Party City and get like the spray that changes hair colors. Get it the nice platinum blonde mustache going on.
Oh my god. Oh,
well, this is for all of you that normally listen. Well, you're welcome. Yeah. Now you get to tune into this. You know what? I might keep it. I don't
know. Goes out to our four fans.
I'm not allowed to keep it.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could say you might keep it, but we know that Danielle would never let that happen.
I want to keep it for a while though.
I mean, look, it looks a lot better than I envisioned it looking. Honestly. Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
It does take a little bit to get used to.
Yeah. It's not bad though. Looks good.
Oh, I'm pretty sure this is not normal. I kind of got a little Dax from FTR going.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, I think I'm in good company I'm definitely in bad company too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. But, honestly, when you first revealed it, I was expecting Chris Hansen to walk out.
Yeah, dude, I'm definitely in the NWA room. I'm Magnum TA with a haircut.
Yeah, I was thinking Magnum TA. I was thinking that.
Yep, I am straight in there.
I don't know if he would call you straight with that mustache.
Yeah, it's definitely doing Freddie Mercury vibes too.
Oh, that is it. That definitely doing some Freddie.
Yeah. This isn't good. Like I said, I'm in good company. I'm in bad company. For every good that you say, there's some questionable. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know it's. I think it's not possible, but I know Sunday I'm going to be happier than I am right now. But it's going to be kind of hard to be happier than I am right now. I'm just saying, this is amazing.
Yeah, there's an AOL team chat that just exploded.
Yeah.
Dude, we can go all night. All right. So
yeah, let's actually talk some wrestling. You know, the closest we've gotten to wrestling was comparing you to other wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly. So we haven't talked wrestling on the show, like week-to-week wrestling in about 3 weeks, because we had Brian Johnson and Rhett Titus on, and thanks to them again, because it was an amazing show. Getting ready actually for tomorrow night. That's tonight as we record this, April 3rd. Tomorrow night, April 4th, they'll be doing their thing in Paulsboro, New Jersey, in the Monster Factory for We Are Five Star for the hybrid championship. So that should be a good event. If you haven't already got tickets, check that out because it's going to be a hell of an event. But so, gentlemen, we are 3 days away from WrestleMania 40, the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania. In our city, right in our backyard, it has been one. Maybe, I mean, I'm sure we're a little biased, but it's one of the better lead ups to a Mania as far as action and suspense, and also not knowing what's going to happen that I can remember in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where we're very privileged in that we're getting a 10. We're getting a 10 version of a Mania. Mm-hmm. Because the 10 versions of Mania usually go all out.
Yeah.
Especially with you know, it's the first time back here in what, 25 years?
Yeah,
give or take. Like, I mean, yeah. Like, I mean,
I think that's on the money. I think it was 15, right?
15, yes.
Yeah, so 25 years.
Mm-hmm. So, and then, you know, so, and then with the Heyman introduction into the Hall of Fame, you know, those types of things, I think it's a big buildup because there's so much wrestling history here that they have a lot they can pile on from.
I don't even think the history is, it doesn't even have to go in depth with what they're doing right now. Like, the storylines are all played out right now. They're all, like, they're all at the peak. Like, all of the storylines, there's not a storyline that isn't at the peak. And the ones that weren't as strong storyline-wise, they've still gotten bits and pieces of me at least a little bit more invested than I thought I was going to be. Like, they did a stupid video vignette of Chad Gable training fucking Sami Zayn.
The Rocky training montage.
Did you hear the specific Rocky IV line?
Yeah.
Where he's looking at him and he says, "What's your problem? What's your problem?" And he yells at him, "I'm scared." I was like, "That is literally line for line out of Rocky IV." Like, I mean, literally.
But it did, like, it just a small thing just made me like, because I wasn't 100% on Sammy and Gunther, and I don't know why. Because I mean, I think
probably because Chad Gable was right there.
Not only that, but I think Sammy, after the Bloodline feud, kind of fizzled a little bit on my, and I feel like they're still trying to either regain or rebuild that for Sammy. I mean, he is very well liked. It's just that I think you're partially right in the Chad Gable, because I wanted Chad Gable to beat Gunther. I mean, that would have done wonders for Gable.
Yeah,
and I think he's definitely earned it. But it's a minuscule thing. This stupid vignette made it more interesting. Definitely put a little bit of entertainment value to it, because it's one of the more serious, because Gunther is Gunther. He's one of the more serious people on the card. Can't get away with too much like that with him and be able to take it serious.
So how about this?
Part of the problem is that we've gotten so used to WWE's long-term storytelling that having Sammy rushed in against Gunther and throwing Chad Gable in as a side project doesn't fit with their long-term booking that they've been trying to build to, with Bayley and Io building over a long time, with Asuka and Kairi, you know, Kairi coming back and that build-up. And, you know, we've had these long-term stories that have been year to 2 years of telling, and then just randomly there's a gauntlet match and Sammy's thrown in for Mania. Doesn't lend to that storytelling they try to build up for Mania. It just feels like a pre-show match almost. Like it was thrown in when it should have been something like Gable building himself up to get back.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. I think with their mindset, I think with what they have planned in the main events, that obviously the eyes are going to be there, and you can kind of put whatever in place. I mean, that might have been the only one that didn't have the massive buildup. They just needed it. Like, they needed Gunther on the card.
I think, honestly, that's your cooldown match before the main event, the tag team match.
So, yeah, I'm glad you said that. So, that is one of the ones on night one, Joe. Joe hasn't seen the breakdown of night one, night two yet.
Busy planning my own demise.
Obviously. So, what we'll do is, since we already touched on Sammy Gunther, we'll go through the lineups, and as we come along, we'll just talk about the matches and lead up that way, and then we'll just switch over to night two, make it a little easier. All right, so we got night, obviously, Sammy and Gunther night one. I'm going to kind of start with the lesser matches, although that one I think is more than a couple that I'm going to talk about. We'll start with Dragon Lee, the newest member of the LWO, and Rey Mysterio against Escobar and Dom Mysterio. Tag match, obviously.
That felt like a thrown-together match.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it is. It's a way of getting Rey on the card, way of getting Dom on the card. you're getting Escobar and Lee, who I wasn't expecting with the end of LWO, but it makes sense, obviously. But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I feel like this is a little bit of a filler just to get guys on the card. But look, it's not like it's not going to be entertaining. It's going to be a really good match, all four of these guys. Dom to a lesser degree, but the other three are amazing in the ring. And Dom's character.
That one's got 10 minutes written all over it.
Yeah, but it also feels like this is Dom and Ray giving the rub to two people who are new to the roster. Like, Santos has been there a while, but he hasn't really been featured as much ever since Ray got hurt. And Dragon Lee, you know.
You probably lose to this.
Yeah.
So you do need eyes on people. You're probably losing a couple people. You need to get games. So what is this rumor that I hear? And I don't know if I'm stepping on your toes or whatnot about the gauntlet match and Austin Theory and what's his name possibly not being on it.
So yeah, there was a rumor that WWE. And I don't know if I believe it at all, but that WWE is contemplating taking Grayson and Austin out of the tag team title ladder match and putting in the Dudley Boys. Or Matt Hardy, apparently his contract is up and he's trying to get Jeff out of his AEW contract, and it could be the Hardy Boys. So, I mean, that could just be shit they're floating out there to drum up more interest and get people make sure they're watching the ladder match. I don't know. I agree.
A 5-minute segment where Matt and Jeff come out, do their WrestleMania return like they already did once before. Then the Dudley Boys come out, put them through the tables, and then they sweep the ring clear and then go on to the next match. Because honestly, I don't want to see either of them in a tag title match or a ladder match or a match in general.
I can see the Dudleys doing it.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, but I could see the Dudleys doing a...
You're talking about WWE, and if they have a chance to take a cheap ECW pop, they're going to fucking take it.
Yeah, but you could do that with the old, you know, Rock returns and squashes the Wyatts. You could do it with that and just have, you know, a heel come out. Or what they did with, what was it, Raw 1000, where you had Ascension out there talking. Yeah. And then you had all the, you know, NWO and everybody and all the tag teams come out and... Everybody hits their finishers and then move along.
Nope. You're going to see the Dudleys in that match.
I do not want to see Crisco Inferno in a match.
They're taking the cheap pop.
I agree with Bill's concept, but I don't agree with the reasoning. I agree. I don't need to see any of those guys. Although, don't get me wrong, if a Dudley Boys music hit or Hardy Boys music hit, I would pop. But I think they're not going to do it because of what Michael Cole said on Monday, that he said both sets of titles need to come down in order for the match to end. So I think, which I think a lot of people have been talking about on social media, is we might be seeing two separate sets of champions. I don't think we're going to have, like, if they're saying that and they're saying that both sets of titles have to be pulled down, maybe we're seeing someone grab one set, someone grab the other, and we're getting those split, especially with WWE going to Netflix or Raw going to Netflix and USA picking up SmackDown. Netflix is going to want their own. SmackDown's going to want their own. USA is going to want their own. So I think we might be seeing the belt split. At WrestleMania, I don't see a Dudley Boys or Hardy Boys, and I think it's just all rumors.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that, you know, you have to split the titles at some point because of that, you know, shift in where it's being presented. But it's also, you know, post-WrestleMania is usually when we get the shakeups.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether what's that?
The restart for them.
Yeah. So it's the new season. So you know, you get the shakeups and stuff like that. So you might see, you know, Miz and R-Truth win one of the titles and move to SmackDown. And then you see, you know, DIY stay on Raw with the titles, or Judgment Day even stays with the titles, but they lose one set of them.
Yeah.
You know, but who knows what's going on with Damian Priest with Money in the Bank.
I think Judgment Day is losing no matter what. I think
I agree.
I think we're getting a cash in.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think that's part of, I mean, it's weird to me that, I mean, I know it was a good part of his promo, but McIntyre keeps bringing up finally being the champion with an audience. I think he's getting the belt, but I don't think he's getting it for that long.
Well, they pre-built that feud with Damian.
They did that
for a while. Yeah.
They did it at the chamber.
It makes sense.
Or no, it wasn't. It was War Games, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
They started that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been running and waiting, mostly because of the shakeup, because, you know, Punk returned. Drew was supposed to feud with Punk. Punk got hurt. Now Drew gets thrown into the title picture with Seth. You know.
I actually like this better.
I think we get a little taste of back in the day type wrestling after Rollins drops it. You get a cash in. And then you get Punk that comes back from fucking surgery. He's already interjected into the title scene. He's already interjected with Rollins. He's interjected with fucking McIntyre. I think we get a little taste of when Punk used to be here, when it was Cena, Del Rio, Punk. Like, they were all chasing. Like, every couple months, someone was dropping the title. That's fucking how Cena got to 16 during that time. I feel like but I want that. That's what I want. Like, I feel like it could go that way, but that's what I want. I want Punk, Rollins, and McIntyre all chasing.
Well, McIntyre's been on the run of his life lately with this troll.
From a character standpoint, 100%.
Yeah,
he's
but
been incredible.
I don't feel like he's going to lose that anytime soon. And him losing the belt, him winning the belt and then losing the belt just adds to that character of always getting screwed off, and he can be even more bitter.
Yeah.
Right now he's bitter. You could just add, you could just pile on top of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he could be your top heel. 100%.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'll move on to the 6-woman match now that just announced. Is Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill and Naomi against the remaining pieces of Damage Control. I think a lot of people are excited for this just to see Jade's first match, but I like it because she's not going to have to do the heavy lifting. You can get her in, get her spots, make her look really good, which WWE has done an amazing job making her look good every time you've seen her. So I think this match is going to be it's going to be fun for the fans just because you're looking at getting those, especially Naomi, Bianca, and Jade.
You're looking at the present and the future of the women's division.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be a really fun month.
I feel like the two that they wanted to get the most, probably Bianca Belair and Jade, on the card. It doesn't really need to make sense. I think it's just there for entertainment purposes and to build again. Another
The expectation was it was going to be Bianca versus Jade.
Yeah.
Is a lot of people's expectation.
I think they're going to pocket that for a little bit because from what my understanding, I don't think they want Jade to really take any losses anytime soon.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. I think they want to do it the right way where it actually feels like a big time moment.
Tell me they create a title to give to her and let her go on a streak. I'd crack up laughing.
They're not doing it.
You're talking to albeit WWE used to be very petty during an actual war, but
right?
I feel like that would be petty for the, and that would do worse for them than it would. It would help AEW. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any publicity that they give them, they feel like they're helping them. So they're just like, they're going to keep it cut off until they catch up, if they ever catch up.
Th- This should be good, though, because I think Bianca, Naomi, Asuka, and Kairi, and...
This could be one of those fucking squash matches.
I think that they can cover for Jade's deficiencies in the ring while still allowing Jade to get her shit in. I think, you know, that...
Is that we don't know how hard she's been training, what's been going on.
Oh, I have no doubt.
We could see, like, a substantially better Jade Cargill.
Oh, for sure. Especially down in the PC, you know, working with a lot of the other women that are down there. And, you know, half the AEW women that she wrestled against were trainers in the PC. Like,
true.
I mean, she could very well be incredible in the ring out of nowhere. But until I see it, she's still the last... Time I saw her, she was green. She was good, and she had potential, but she was green. And she needed to be shielded a little bit. And I think that, you know, all of her matches were squashes. And the only ones that carried on long, she was carried by someone else, like a Statlander or a Serena Deeb or something like that. I think if Bianca and Naomi end up carrying this match, that she becomes the hot tag.
That's exactly what it's probably going to be. You're going to hold her off, get the fans to a fever pitch, and then finally get her in, and she comes in like a house of fire.
Yeah,
I mean, and does all that. I think that's probably the most likely way of booking that match, and probably her getting the win. You know what I mean? Her getting the pin.
Yeah,
I would think just to get that, like you said, Joe. You know what I mean? Showing her being strong and having her get the pin is probably the best scenario anyway.
I would love it if they pulled the trigger right away and this match was the setup, Bianca and Cargill.
It could be.
Like, I would love a swerve, and like that, I wouldn't expect it, even though I just said it. I still wouldn't expect them to do it because I'm expecting it to go Bill's way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that makes the most sense, but I would love it if they were just like, hey, you know what, fuck it. Fans want it.
I mean, theoretically, they could have the match. Jade goes to get the pin and gets pushed off. Bianca gets the pin. And they're celebrating, Jade just power bombs her out of nowhere. I mean,
it'd be more than what I would be hoping for. I was just hoping for a little bit of weird, like, stare down back and forth. Like,
but this also feels like a cool down match. This feels like a thrown in match that kind of is time consuming.
If I can be quite honest, a lot of it, I don't want this to come off the wrong way. Larry, you already know where I'm going with this.
Go ahead.
I feel like it all feels like a cool down until you get to Roman, Brock, Cody, Seth.
Yeah.
Or on the next
match. No, well, you got Jimmy J.
I was going to say the next match is not any sort of cool down match, because looking at it, aside from Sammy and Gunther, which could steal that night, Jay and Jimmy could be the best wrestling match of the night.
Yeah. I think that starts the show, and it's nowhere near.
They released the match order.
The match order they did?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that the picture I have is the match order.
I don't know if they'd ever. I don't know in the history. I don't think they do the match order. Like, you know what the main event is, obviously, but I don't think they ever put. Like, they don't release the actual card. They'll release the card, but they won't ever release the order, I don't think.
I don't know.
Someone can fact check me all they want. I'm just a lowly man with a mustache.
I don't know. I think Jimmy J, we've been talking. I mean, when we did the table for four and we had Scott, that was one of the ones that we were like, man, I hope they find a way of getting to Jimmy and Jay.
They found a way.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's not like it was hard. It really wasn't, but like, I'm glad they did. And you're talking the first brother versus brother match since Matt and Jeff. Matt and Jeff,
and then Brett and Owen.
And I mean, Brett and Owen was first, yes, but since Matt and Jeff is the first
they
one.
Did
so
it every 15 years, right? So it's 40 to 25, 25 to 10.
Yes.
Yeah. So they go on with it. So 55. Hopefully, they have. It'll be the Creed brothers if they're still there.
No, it's going to be Matt and Jeff again.
It'll just be the three faces of Foley. It'll be Mick Foley fighting himself from a walker. as he
with barbed wire wrapped around it.
He quickly rolls out of the ring, comes back, and he's Dude Love. Looking searching the ring for fucking Mankind. Every time he goes under the ring, he comes out as someone else. And it's just 5 minutes of that.
Or we get a Shane versus Hornswoggle match since they're brothers.
They should have done that for this pre-show. The pre-show, like while Booker T's like flat, like he's just fucking flapping gums in the background. Just
I don't think anybody with the surname McMahon's going to be anywhere near this WrestleMania.
Absolutely not.
I think the kids are pretty much out.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So I want to go to what I think is going to be the co-main event, and that's Becky and Rhea.
Oh, well, wait. No, that's not bad. We get Bayley on night two then.
Yes. So Becky, Rhea, I think this has gone, and they've turned up the heat on it. I like the viciousness of the girls, what they're doing. The physicality is amazing. It looks like they really dislike each other. And in reality, when you're watching a match like that, when it looks like they actually hate each other, it just gives more intrigue to the match and the matchup. So I think this is going to be co-main event right before. And I see Ripley. See, I want to say I see Ripley retaining, but it's still Becky Lynch. So I don't know. It's
Becky Lynch at Mania.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
and part of the problem is who beats her then? Unless you do a shake up and do like a Jade moves over and takes on Rhea and wins it at SummerSlam or
Rhea. I mean, as soon as Charlotte comes back, she could beat Rhea.
Yeah.
It's Charlotte Flair. Charlotte Flair can beat anybody at any moment at any time.
Yeah.
Very true.
And if you completely believe
Bianca could do it if they build it.
There's a few people that could beat her and it would be I don't think Becky's the end all. It is Becky Lynch, but I still don't think she's the end all be all. But it's Becky Lynch and it's WrestleMania. And if she wins, I won't be fucking surprised.
Yeah, me either.
Because the main event's going to be a bloodbath.
So, yeah, let's get to the main event. We got the biggest tag team match of all time, and the reason that Joe is sporting that mustache because he didn't think it was going to happen.
Yeah. I hope. I had talked myself into thinking there is no possible way this could logically happen. And not to my surprise at all, I was wrong. And they fucking did it anyway.
Yeah.
Even though logically, there's a lot to fucking put on the line here.
Yeah. Rock Roman, Seth, Cody. Actually, tonight on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Rock and Roman are going to be guests with Jimmy Fallon, so we'll see.
He's been great everywhere he's been at. Social media, wherever the fuck he's at, he's promoting this, and he's fucking absolutely killing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not only that, look, everything that's going on, there's been points, I'm going to say 95.
This might be the best Rock we've seen.
That's a bold statement to make with The Rock.
Dude, I don't want it to be true, but God, it could very well be just on his mic work alone. It could be true. And his believability and the way he's like, Rock's always had someone like he's elevated, but let's put it that way. Like he's elevated, but every time when he was in his prime, it was kind of both parties.
Yeah.
Elevating. Like look at his biggest. You got him, Austin, obviously. He didn't do anything to elevate Austin. It was him and Austin. I mean, that's all you really needed.
He got elevated by the Hurricane.
And, I mean, you got Angle, you got everybody.
Rock.
Well, no, I'm talking about Rock.
He's talking about Rock. Hunter. Rock, him and Hunter.
Triple H, you got Jericho. I mean, he didn't elevate.
Well, I'm saying Brock. Like he.
Oh, Brock. I thought you said The Rock.
I thought you said Brock. Rock
too. No, like, you know, Brock Lesnar.
Brock came in as a highly touted and he'd already been destroying everybody. He was more of a. He didn't really have to talk the talk. This feels more like this is his best work, like, because he's come in and taken a really, 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 really good to great storyline to a storyline that I didn't think could get any fucking better, and it has gotten substantially better. Like, somehow. I didn't think this was a bad storyline. I thought it was a really good storyline.
No.
I just think that The Rock doing everything that he's doing has made it substantially better.
I think a lot of the problem was is it was so awkward set up at first. Cody went in the Rumble, then giving it up to The Rock. And
very
then
bumpy, yeah.
It was very awkward, but once Rock finally gave in and decided to be the final boss, it took off.
As soon as he came out for that presser in Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
That was, and then you saw, like, just the fucking, just the flip, just like that. It's been all uphill.
Yeah.
If the slap heard around the world.
Yeah. And I love that Cody gave it back to him.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, you have established promo guys. You have established superstars. I mean, you have Roman, you have Cody, and you have Seth. All very much established. Now working with The Rock. And this isn't The Rock that left the first time. This is now the $800 million Rock.
This is Hollywood Rock times 10.
This is Hollywood Rock on juice.
Yeah.
This is, like, metaphorically and fucking physically. I mean, in all aspects, this is the Hollywood Rock turned up. Somehow, this is a character turned to 11, turned to another 11.
Yeah.
This fucking Rock's operating at 22 over here.
Because he's it's interesting because he's both, you know, I'm the star, but he's also that authority figure, being the board member and everything like that, and calling himself the final boss. It feels McMahon-ish and Hollywood Rock.
It feels Triple H-ish.
Yeah.
Triple H knows this angle because he ran it with Seth.
Yeah.
And that's how they got Seth over. And that's how they got Seth to be, they're just doing it from the other. It feels like, I 100% agree with you. The authority type feeling is sprinkled all over this, but they're taking it from the other angle now.
And the irony that Triple H literally ran that gimmick for 20 years, and then he gets superseded by the one person who stood up to that authority, other than Stone Cold. You know, that he's become what he's always hated, is that authority. And superseded Triple H, that now Triple H was saying, you know, I will not be overruled, basically, and saying, like, you know, I'm going to figure this out kind of thing. And then Rock shut him down. You know, it's taken an interesting twist that, like,
I'm going to use the word apropos.
Yeah.
Because I am just a man with a mustache.
It's a karmic retribution, I think.
I mean, that was very deep. I will say that it was very, very well thought out, very well overthought out.
Thank you, Mr. Corrado. Can I go to recess now?
No, definitely suspended. 100% suspended. We might expel you.
Be the first time.
No other choice. You get no recess.
Do we all agree that we believe that Rock, Roman win, and we have the bloodline rules for night two?
Well, considering these rules are already, like, basically rules now, bloodline rules, I mean, that's basically it. And Cody and Seth don't have rules, so they would probably make a stupid stipulation.
Well, I feel like you don't make the option of a bloodline rules match or a regular match, and you don't put it out there unless that's what it's going to be.
Well, because the only stipulation they could do is that everyone's banned from ringside.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is the final boss. This is Cody's hard times story. And I'll say this. If Cody doesn't overcome this and Cody somehow loses again, I'm going to be very deflated. Going to be very deflated and a little aggravated at the same time, because they have everything in the world stacked up against Cody. They have everything in the world pointing at this is what should be. And I know WWE loves doing WWE things and just yanking it right from you, right when you think, and just giving you that, like, I mean, look, Taker lost the streak. The crowd, I mean, there's memes that still live on today of people.
That dude with the bug eyes?
Yeah. The shirt, the white shirt with the, I forget what the letters say, but they love that moment. That moment will be in every vignette and dialogue for every WrestleMania to come. If Cody, I mean, they love that. Those faces. Yeah. Remember the Miz crying girl?
The Miz girl, yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have so many more of those people. We're gonna be able to fill a stadium with the memes.
But here's the thing: is do they go for the moment that will last forever?
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. We got night two still to talk.
Oh, sorry. You asked us a question.
I asked about night one and if we thought the tag team was going to win or lose. not Cody.
It's all right. Okay. Night one is episode one. We'll release episode two with night two next.
So look, we've done enough to where we can cut here. We'll take a little bit of a break and we'll come back and we'll have part two of this episode. And we'll be rejoining and talking about night two. Just make it.
Is this when we're going on recess? Was this foreshadowing?
Do you need to go recess?
Maybe.
Do you need a hall pass? Do you need to use the little boys' room?
Don't get a hall pass for fucking recess.
No, he's got it. He's got to run. He heard somebody speeding past his house. He's got to go pull him over.
His radar gun's going off. All right, so we'll return with part two of our Table for Three, the WrestleMania 40 edition, and we'll be back to talk night two.